All right, welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate. We have a tremendous program lined up for you today, so don't miss a minute of it. Now, we're coming to you in the second week of the upsurge of protest that followed the murder, the lynching of George Floyd at the hands of the Minneapolis police. The brother was choked to death with a pig's knee on his neck while he gasped, "I can't breathe." He pleaded for his life until he could no longer move. Later in the show, we're going to present nothing less, an important new declaration from Bob Avakian, revolutionary leader, author, and architect of the new communism. And I'm also going to play an excerpt on the oppression of black people and other people of color from a speech called Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution. Now, this is especially relevant today when the system's politicians, especially the Democrats, are using honeyed words about reform and even defunding the police to corral the struggle within the very system that murdered George Floyd and countless others, so stay tuned for all of that. At the back end of the show, I'm also going to play a new piece by LL Cool J in response to the murder of George Floyd and the protests that are going on, and I'm going to pose a challenge to you, the listeners, so stick around for that. Before that, we're going to hear an interview with two people who are frequent guests here and are currently in Minneapolis, and they're in the streets. They are Sansara Taylor, a writer for RevCom.us, and a participant in the Revolution Nothing Less show on YouTube, and Carl Dix, a representative of the Revolutionary Communist Party and a co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. Sansara Taylor, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. It's very good to be with you.
Yeah, back at you. Let's jump into this because it's very good to be with you, and it's very inspiring to see what's happening in the world today and the way that people are rising up in a certain sense that they haven't done in a very long time. And I wanted to talk with you about that and as well our co-guest, Carl Dix. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, Michael.
Sure. Well, let's start with you, Sansara. You arrived in Minneapolis on Sunday. Now let's talk about what brought you there and what you found when you got there.
Yeah, I actually came in on Saturday, and it seems like so long ago, even though it was just a few days ago. This is, you know, look, it's the eye of the hurricane, the eye of the storm, whatever you want to call it. This is where we all saw that horrific, I mean, just unbearable brutality and lynching, calculated, calm stealing of the life under the color of law of George Floyd. That's one thing that is here. We were down at the site where that took place a number of times. But this also, as everybody, as the whole world knows now, this is the place where people stood up and said, this has got to stop, and responded to this horrific killing by the state in a way that brought hope and joy and courage and bravery to people all across this country. And it spread to 170 cities of people saying no and taking to the streets and defying rubber bullets and defying curfews and defying National Guards and saying, we're going to stand up. And I think this has been incredibly inspiring. And the mood in the streets, I've never experienced anything like it. The mood in the streets of the youth, the first night I got in, Saturday night, you know, I joined a crowd of thousands who were out at the 5th Precinct in South Minneapolis, who, when curfew approached, they sat down in the street. They just sat down, and they're so young, and so many white youth and black youth and Latino and Somali youth, and just a mix, an incredible mix, sat down, and there's older people too, but especially it's young, and they sat down and they just stayed there, and they said George Floyd's name, and they were together and defying the authorities and standing up. And then when the authorities came in with their tear gas and shock and force, people, strangers opened their homes and let people in. I mean, it was just an incredible, there's a turning of the mood of society, of huge sections of blocks of people in a way that has not happened in a very, very long time. And so it's been really important to be here. And now it's even, the stakes have become even higher because people have gained some ground and the powers that be are bringing out their full-on threats. So each day has brought new developments, and it's been quite intense here.
Yeah, I'm going to get into those new developments in a minute. And I wanted to go to Carl for a minute. Carl, what compelled you to make your way to Minneapolis? Let's talk a little bit about what you found when you got there. But in the initial hours when you got there, let's talk about that. What compelled you there to go there, and what did you find when you got there?
Look, what brought me to Minneapolis was seeing people stand up with a defiant spirit of no more in the wake of that horrific murder, because that knee on George Floyd's neck symbolizes the 4 centuries, 400 years of the boot of this system on the necks of Black people. And I saw in the people in the streets here a determination to see this stopped, to say no more to this. And I felt like I had to be there with them. I had to be standing together with them. And also, we, speaking of the movement for an actual revolution, needed to bring to them the understanding of how we could really make this no more. Because, look, it's been a long time since I've seen anything like this. I think I have to go back to the 1960s, and I'm old enough to go back to the 1960s to have seen anything on this scope and scale. But I have seen a lot of people standing up and resisting, but not being able to break through. And that's because we didn't make a revolution in the 1960s, but we now have something we didn't have in the 1960s, and that's the leadership necessary for a revolution. And Bob Avakian, the architect of the new communism and the forger of a pathway to human emancipation, we have his work that includes a blueprint for a future socialist republic in North America. And we had to, I felt like we had to bring that to people. We had to stand with them, but we had to bring the message of stopping this is possible, and here's the leadership for it, here's the plan and strategy, and here's a blueprint for the future we could bring into being.
Yeah, now let me go back to Sansara for a minute too, because I'm going to continue with you, but I also wanted to ask Sansara some things around this, which I think it's really important, because, you know, I was thinking about this. News reports today make it clear how routine and acceptable the whole murder was and is to the rulers. You know, and I was just looking at the LA Times, and there was just this whole thing about, you know, on one hand, they're kind of like saying, oh, well, we've got to make changes. We've got to make changes here. But then all this time, all this was going on, and it was perfectly acceptable. And when you look at this, even in terms of how it originally fell out, basically, it waited until now to get these news reports that make it clear that it was all actually routine and acceptable, that the whole murder was routine and acceptable to the rulers, which in turn makes it so goddamn unacceptable to the people.
Yeah, I mean, in the last couple of days, you've just heard all these, and I think people need to not get played by these politicians and these, look, the fascists are threatening. Donald Trump and the fascists are threatening people who have stood up. They're threatening to call out the military. They're threatening, they've got their armed mob supporters, white supremacists, ready to go and defending stores around the country and stopping people from marching. So they have that. But you also have these Democratic politicians, and you have Obama coming in and acting like, oh, now we have to reform the police. You know, oh, we need a civil rights investigation into the Minnesota police. You know what? There's a study, and it was published in the New York Times yesterday, that they've known for years, seven times more likely. The police in Minnesota are seven times more likely to use violent force against Black people than white people. That's been known. You don't need an investigation. I read this morning, in the wake of these uprisings, Colorado is considering banning chokeholds. 20 years after Anthony Baez was choked to death by NYPD on his mother's porch. Okay, well, she was screaming that he has asthma and cannot breathe. 6 years after Eric Garner was choked to death and the whole country saw it and people rose up all over the place, and now they're considering banning chokeholds. This is a cruel joke, and people should not get played by this. You know, Keith Ellison coming out, oh, you know, he elevated the charges against Chauvin, the cop who had his knee physically on the neck, and he charged the three other cops. It took them 170 cities standing up in protest to even bring charges against something that should have been done that night. So people should not think, oh, the gears of justice are slowly grinding. No, the struggle of the people has wrenched some concessions, and we need a conviction. Those killer cops must go to jail. But let's not be satisfied, and let's not believe this, oh, there's some people up there who are going to try to make this work. This problem is more deeply rooted. It is the system itself. And as Bob Avakian has said, and it's very important, the role of the police is not to serve and protect the people. It is to serve and protect the system that rules over the people, to enforce the relations of exploitation, the conditions of oppression and poverty and immiseration that this system has cast them in and is determined to keep them in. And that's why They put body cameras on them, and they still do this. That's why they bring in a reform slate black police officer chief in Minneapolis, Arredondo, who a lot of people are celebrating. He came down to the site where George Floyd was killed and took a knee and apologized. But it didn't make any difference. It did not stop his cops from killing, because they are protecting a system and enforcing a system that has white supremacy built into it. And that system has to be overthrown. And it's time that people stop getting played. And this is what's been so beautiful in the streets. But there's also a question of where this will go. And so I think, you know, it's, yeah, the reforms they're considering now are an exposure of the fact that they've allowed it for so long.
All right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking with Sansara Taylor and Carl Dix. And we're talking about the police murder of George Floyd and the upsurge of protest nationwide in response to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very important to get that out, too, for people to understand that, because it is, you know, there is this thing, and I've noticed this with a lot of people about this thing of, well, suddenly there's this, like, there's things coming out from the government, there's things coming out here, there's, you know, the people are beginning. I mean, you look at the LA Times today, and it's almost the entire front section and going on into the next section, and it's all talking about how, you know, there's something, we woke up and we saw how wrong we were, you know, and it was sort of, it's just all of this justice bull that's going on, that's really, but it's not just bull. See, that's the thing, is it's actually being used to sort of, in a way, to basically move people along in the same direction. They got to stand up and say something, but they also are looking for a way to actually undercut anything that might break loose in terms of people's understanding of what's going on, why this society does what it does, and why it needs to be changed. You know, and Carl, I wanted to ask you this, because you talk about this, and I think it is, when you talked about being what compelled you to make your way to Minneapolis, this was pretty important, man. And I found it pretty heavy that you were not just welcome, but invited to speak at a rally shortly after you arrived. That, I thought, was actually said something about, because one thing is that there was apparently people there that knew you from your past work in around police brutality and whatnot. But to actually say, look, we need people to come up and speak out around this, I thought it was a fairly important thing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, actually, our crew has gotten several invites to speak, and it's been a combination. Some people have recognized me from my past work, but other people are responding to the banner that we have that says this system can't be reformed, it must be overthrown. They're responding to the statement from Bob Avakian, headline, nothing less, speaking to the horror that was perpetrated, but also speaking to the people who rose in outrage against that horror, to the people who got brought to the side of those people who stood up, and to people who were being shaken awake, to walk them through why we need an actual revolution, speaking about the kind of world that people need to live in. This has actually had some resonance with people. So it's been a combination of some people recognizing me, but a lot of people who have no idea who I am and what I've done, but who see what we're doing right now on the ground in Minneapolis and want to hear more of that. Because you're right, Sunday, Sansara and I got invited to speak at a rally by some people, but yesterday we marched into a scene at the site of the murder, and we both did an impromptu rally, which ended with dozens of people holding up a poster that read, "No more revolution, nothing less," and chanting that out with us. Sansara led them in singing, "There's a whole better way that the world could be, make revolution, get humanity free." I don't have the voice to lead any singing, so I let her take care of that.
I was going to say thank you.
People, and a number of people listened to an impromptu speech that I gave, a short speech, and the reading of Bob Avakian's Nothing Less statement. So there are people who really want to live in a world where the police don't murder and terrorize black and brown people, where immigrants aren't thrown into detention camps, where women are not subjected to abuse and degradation, and where the planet's not being destroyed. And they're open to and want to hear somebody talk about whether and how that could happen. And that's what we're working to connect with people around, because this is really what humanity needs. And the stakes of this are very high right now. That's why the authorities are coming from all ends to try to hem these protests in, cool them out, and suppress them. That's why Donald Trump threw the gauntlet down. That's why Obama came out and said, well, what you really need to do is all those things that you actually already been doing that haven't done a goddamn thing to end this horror. And so do more of those things while this these horrors keep coming down. And that is not what these people want to see happen. That's not what folks want to see happen. That's why they're out there. That's why people were streaming to the site of George Floyd's lynching. I mean, just all, like Sansara said, all kinds of people, you know, a number of people from Somalia, people from other parts of the world, black people, white people. We went there once and there was a indigenous peoples group, a Native American group that was leading a dance and chanting ceremony to honor George Floyd, which they then invited the whole crowd, and dozens of the hundreds of people who were there watching joined into the ceremony and into the dance. And it has been that kind of scene here.
You know, one of the things that sort of still sticks with me too is that, you know, when you're talking about this, I mean, I've known you for quite some time, and I remember there's a story that you told that I think was, there's a certain universality to it, and there's a, you know, there's a real power to it. And it's something I always think about when I hear you going out and talking about fighting against police brutality, fighting against the system and what it's doing to people. And you talk about something that was very moving to me. And I know I heard you just recently mention this again, your own experience with basically, I mean, you think about this whole thing, what power the police have, what power they're given by this society. You know, you look at this and you can't help but think that if you have any kind of brain or any kind of heart, you think about George Floyd and actually what happened to him. You know, and how it was, you know, the man did nothing but have, you know, what? He had a car and then he got out and they just wantonly slaughtered him. And I kept thinking about something you said about an experience you had in your family that I think it would be just worth you mentioning that again, because I think it brings something to this that needs to be here in terms of really what is the wanton horror that's brought down on black people and other people of color in this society without the blink of an eye.
Okay. You mean the thing with my brother-in-law?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I had just come back from the military. Well, actually from the military prison that they put me in after I refused the orders they gave me to go to Vietnam. And the police had been looking for my brother-in-law, and they came to his mother's house. He wasn't my brother-in-law yet because I hadn't married his sister. That happened a little bit later, but he would have been my brother-in-law if his life hadn't been stolen by the pigs. They came to his mother's house and said they were looking for him. And when she was like, I don't know where he is, he's not here, they said, you'll never see him alive again. And sure enough, 2 days later, they gunned him down in front of the apartment building that his mother lived in. I mean, and he was supposed to have been a suspect in some crime that had happened. But, you know, we all know that being born black is enough to make you a suspect. You fit the description. And that is enough for the police to hunt you down, to capture you, to brutalize you, and to even murder you, and to get away with it scot-free. That's why so many people in Minneapolis took to the streets, because so many of them had lived this experience. And that's why so many people all across the country responded. But then we have the added thing of so many other people who did not experience this, who don't have that life experience, but who now know the reality of that experience, who feel it's wrong and feel an obligation to stand with people who do suffer that. And then as this develops, it does open the eyes of a lot of other people. And that's what makes this a moment filled with such possibility, and one that we have to really maximize bringing the message of the way out of this mess. And we've got a chant on that that people really like. You know, how do we get out of this mess? Revolution, nothing less. We had people chanting that with us yesterday. And this is real important because the possibility in this moment is also why the other side is so desperate to crush it, because they see that things are getting out of hand and can get further out of hand and want to stop it in its tracks, both through suppression, but also through deceit and confusion about what people need to do, who their leaders are, and all like this. So there's a lot riding on this moment. We've got a lot of responsibility, and we're doing everything that we can to try to fulfill that responsibility so that this doesn't end up like some of the earlier outbreaks of resistance. I mean, people have asked me about the LA Rebellion, and the LA Rebellion and the nationwide solidarity actions of rising up that people took around it was powerful. It was beautiful. But the system remains intact, and that means that the horrors that brought about the LA Rebellion are still coming down. And I don't want this to end up, we can't have this ending up being another experience of, you know, and a fond experience for a lot of people, to be real, of having risen up against the powers that be, but having been pushed back down. So it's just a fond memory while the horrors continue to go down. Mm-hmm. We got to actually tap into that spirit, connect it to a movement for an actual revolution, bring to it the leadership that we have for that revolution in Bob Avakian, and work to make it a part of getting rid of this system once and for all and ending these horrors.
All right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking with Sansara Taylor and Carl Dix. And we're talking about the police murder of George Floyd and the upsurge of protest nationwide in response to it. Sansara, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about, and I think it was really important because you also dove into things, as you were saying, as soon as you got there and you were out and in the streets. And I wanted to talk with you about what you found there, because this awakening of sorts and a refusal to fold in the face of the threats of the system is extremely important, I think, both to the people there, but also to people all over this country and further who are looking for what kind of response, you know, what do you do in the face of such horror and brutality? And I thought that what you brought to that when you actually went out there, you dove into things as soon as you got there, you're on the streets, you're talking to people, and you're standing with them, and you're helping them to understand something more about why this happens and what can they do about it. Let's talk about that a little.
Let me just mention to you, because I had told you that Carl and I were getting out to the funeral later soon, that we have to go. We don't have that long. I think we could extend our time just a little bit, because I want to make sure that we have a chance to answer what you're saying, but also point to some ways that everybody listening needs to take this further.
Sansara, let's talk about some of this, though. You've been involved in something very important right now, and I think it's important for people to understand not just the things that you've been doing around this particular battle, but you actually are part of a whole new force on the field out here. And I think it's extremely important for people to understand, one, what it is, or to know about what it is. And I think because of the character of it and because of what it's bringing to people and what it's saying to people about what needs to be done, especially in terms of in relationship to what we've just been talking about, this wanton, you know, murder of people. And it happens, you know, I keep thinking it happens. We find out one person it happened to, and how many other people have been beaten, been chained, been killed, you know, across this country, and we don't know about, you know, and it's just sort of, and I think what you're talking about, you're involved with a group now that actually has come into being and is playing a very important and will play an even more important role as we go along in what people standing up and trying to change, dedicating themselves to trying to change this society. So let's talk about it.
A minute ago, Carl talked about that we are doing everything we can as members of the Revolution Tour, as followers of Bob Avakian and Fighters for an Actual Revolution. We're doing everything we can to bring the way out in the leadership and the science and the strategy to people in the streets to take this fight forward, to win real justice for George Floyd and an end to white supremacy, an end to murder by police, and an end to the system that gives rise to it, and a whole better world. We are fighting to do that, but to the greatest of our ability in carrying out our responsibility, but there's a responsibility of everybody to this moment and to the future. And so we're on the ground, but I'm also involved in, and it's very important, and I want to invite everybody listening to this to watch and learn from and send in your thoughts to a YouTube show called The Revolution Nothing Less Show, which I've been part of for several months now that we've gotten going, bringing the message of revolution, bringing the leadership, Bob of Aiken and his actual words and his speeches and his writings, breaking this down for people, not watering it down, but breaking it down, bringing it to people, bringing them the movement for revolution, getting into questions that are on people's minds and recent developments. It's been a weekly show. It's at youtube.com/therevcoms. But now, since this upsurge, we've been doing daily dispatches. And while I've been on the ground here in Minneapolis taking part in the protests and bringing this message of revolution in and standing with people, we've also been recording and feeding footage in and interviews in and commentary on the ground into daily dispatches that the Revolution Nothing Less show has been putting out on YouTube. And you can find it again, youtube.com/therevcoms. And this is important because people are asking, and they should be asking, very big questions. Very big questions. Why does this keep happening? How do we end it? What's worth living and dying for? I had a conversation with a number of people about the risks involved. You step into the streets, there's a COVID crisis. Okay, how do we see that? We have to take best practices into the streets, and it's actually been very impressive. Churches and other groups coming out and bringing masks to the protests and water everywhere you go, hydrating people. There's people taking care of each other, hand sanitizer, Clorox wipes on the bullhorns people are sharing. It's very important. But there's also a question of sacrifice is necessary at times. Risk is necessary, and risk and sacrifice taken to bring about a better world, to put an end to oppression is different than loss of life or safety as part of the ongoing machinery of oppression that we've been living under. And so how do you understand this? How do you take all this courage and all this sacrifice people have been living through in the streets in the last few days and that needs to go deeper and further? Well, what's it going to take it all the way? These are questions that have to be dug into, and this is what we're breaking down every single day in the Revolution Nothing Less show. As well as, I'll say, you know, things like Trump throws down the gauntlet. Trump throws down the gauntlet, threatening to bring out the military, and brings in Black Hawk helicopters to the Capitol. So low they're flying, they're breaking branches off of trees that people are running for shelter. I'll tell you, we're here in Minneapolis. There's a big Somali community. The Black Hawk helicopters were brought into the cities of Mogadishu in Somalia and other places. People have experience with that kind of terror here. And I'm talking about the terror by the U.S. government. Trump throws down the gauntlet. How do we understand this? We are taking this up on, well, Bob of Aiken is speaking to it on RevCom.us in a very important statement that came out last night. But also we're digging into this and we're bringing you this on the RNL show, the Revolution Nothing Less show, so that every single day Obama comes out and runs out his tired old tropes and we speak to it. Developments in courage in the streets, we share that with you. Andy Z, who is our main host, is giving a message every single day on the RevCom's dispatches and on the RNL show, and we're feeding into it from on the ground here. It's how do we live and die today, and what is the future we're fighting for? And how do we make that real? The kind of world Carl was talking about before with no more police murder, no more white supremacy, no more male domination, no more xenophobia and hatred of foreigners, no more borders, no more wars. Seriously, no more wars. And no more destruction of the environment and the planet. This is possible. It's not a dream. And we see dimensions of it, dimensions of this possibility in the streets with the unity and the courage and the love that is outpouring. And we see what it is up against in the repression coming down on it. But to actually go all the way, to actually solve this, you need science and you need leadership and you need a deeper understanding. And we are bringing this. We're doing everything we can to be in the streets with people, but also to bring this understanding in these daily dispatches. It's at RevCom.us and it's on YouTube at the RevComs. We call on people to subscribe to the channel, to hit the whatever that notification bell so you get an update and an alert every time there's a new upload, and to correspond and send in your own footage and help get the stories of people standing up and the questions people are running up against into our hands so we can speak to them and carry this forward together.
Very important. Carl, we have a chance for you to send to say something in closing, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, you know, well, one, what are you talking about in terms of what you have planned? But also, I just really have to add this in as well. You know, I keep thinking about the way you described the videos of the cops who murdered George Floyd, and it was put up in a way that symbolized the boot on the backs of people for 400 years, and people saying no to that, and people of all nationalities saying no to that, people standing up, and men, women, people from other countries just saying no, this is not acceptable, we won't accept it. And let's talk about you, that, and the plans you have for the future.
Well, like I said, this was something that struck a nerve with many, many people here and across the country, and they've stepped out in response to it. We're bringing the message of this can be ended, but it has to, that requires getting rid of this system, the leadership for it, and how to do it. And we are really working at that. At the same time, that gauntlet that Trump has thrown down, that Sansar and I have both talked about, with the both the military display he made in D.C., but his threat to call out the military to crush these protests if the governors and mayors don't do it on their own, is something that people have to meet. We can't let this become the thing that stops people from rising up, stops people from coming together and standing together against these horrors, and stops them from digging into where these horrors come from and how to stop it. And in light of that, Refuse Fascism has called for mass protest in D.C., in L.A., and here in Minneapolis, and everywhere this Saturday on the theme of, you know, just saying no to what this gauntlet that's been thrown down. No more police murder of black people. No fascist police state. No fascist military war on the people. Trump, Pence out now. And it will be very important for people all across the country, everywhere, to take this stand on Saturday. And in Los Angeles, the details of it for your Los Angeles audience is going to be noon on Saturday at Hollywood and Vine. Come out.
I just want to add to that, that this demand that the regime must go, that this fascist white supremacist regime must go, is a real demand. And we've seen in the last year around the world in Lebanon how they drove out a regime, in Puerto Rico how they drove out their governor by staying in the streets in mass protest. And we've seen this kind of energy in these sustained outpourings in cities across this country. They have to continue until the police murder stops. But at this point as well, when Trump has thrown down this gauntlet, and when this is a fascist white supremacist regime pledging revenge against people, backing up this murder by police, this regime must be lifted off the backs of humanity. And so it's not just a slogan. It's a reality that we want to set off through these protests and sustain to come out on Saturday at noon at Hollywood and Vine in Los Angeles, and around the country at 4 p.m. at Lafayette Park in front of the White House, and defy the repression and say, F you, Trump, but also take this to the realization of driving this regime from power. And then there's a challenge to go forward to make a revolution, to get organized for what comes next. But that will open up possibilities. And if this uprising is allowed to be crushed and deterred and this regime consolidates, they will exact revenge. And it will be a huge setback for the struggle against police murder, as well as every other struggle for justice. So we cannot miss this moment to really rise to the occasion. And that's the importance of this call from Refuse Fascism this Saturday. And everybody should join with it from every perspective and be out in the streets raising that demand.
All right. Very much appreciated and agreed with. I think it's really important that people need to get out there and all over, wherever you're listening to this from, be there. All right. These are the times that actually change the future of humanity in a big way. And I think it's really important. All right. So I want to thank both of you for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Carl?
Thanks for having us on.
Okay. And actually, now, Sansar, tell us again how people can get in touch with the various organizations and people they need to get in touch with, both for what's coming up this weekend, but also in general.
Okay. So for everybody everywhere, go to refusefascism.org, read the call for protests on Saturday, join with them, follow them on social media at refusefascism, and raise the demand: no more police murder, no fascist police state, no military war on the people. Trump, Pence out now. For everybody who has had their eyes open and wants to learn more about where all this comes from and what it will take to end it fully, go to revcom.us. Follow the RevCons on social media, at the RevCons on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And watch and subscribe to our YouTube show, Revolution Nothing Less, on YouTube. It's youtube.com/TheRevCons. And if you just want one place to go and find it all, go to revcom.us, and it's all right there on the homepage. You can connect with each of these things.
All right. Carl, you have anything you want to add?
No, that's it. Let's go with that.
All right. Thanks a lot. Really glad to talk with you guys, and look forward to it again soon.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Bye. All right. This is the Michael Slate Show, and we've been talking with Carl Dix, a representative of the Revolutionary Communist Party and a co-initiator of RefuseFascism.org, and Sansara Taylor, a writer for RevCom.us and a participant in the Revolution Nothing Less show. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned.
Ein, zwei, drei, Sphere.
Strange things are happening, Lord, I don't know what to do. My friends say it's in my head, I say it's deja vu. It's all too familiar, been down this road before. I believe it was in Germany, just before the war. A meanness swept the land, stealing our hearts and the hands of time, taking us back in history to a place on the darker side, where we saluted the flags of fear and the voice of ignorance roared. Ah, taking us back to Germany just before the war. The balance of power shifted when the people cast their vote. Our lining up the victims, the villains, and the scapegoats. And we're all singing hallelujah, death penalty's been restored. Just like in Germany, just before the war. We used to feed the hungry, care for the disabled and the poor. We used to care about civil rights, but we don't give a damn anymore. We used to harbor the wretched refuse, but now we bar the door. Just like in Germany, just before the war. About the children, their future was in our hands. Oh, their health and education was so vital to our plans. But the cost kept on rising, we can't afford to care no more. just like in Germany just before the war. They say it's time to clean the slate, it's time to start anew. So what was good was bad, and bad is good, and two reasons to be a fool. But it's double speak and double think, and double crosses galore. Just like in Germany, just before the war. Ain't much I really can do, I'm just one lonely soul. Caring for my wife and family's all I can control. So I turn a blind eye and turn the deadbolt on my door. Just like in Germany, just before. Just like in Germany, just before the war. Just like in Germany, just before the war. Just like in Germany, just before the war.
All right, now that was Sonny Meadows with Just Like Germany Before the War, and damn, tell me that's not a fitting song for today, all right? Now, Sonny's got a really, really amazing collection of songs, and I want to give you a sense of where he's coming from. His songs include Drums of War, Raid on Fort Washington Armory, Ten Commandments and the NRA, George Jackson, 41 Bullets, Malathion, the NRA theme song, Talkin' Religion, and Bibles, Guns, and Flags. And all of these songs are especially relevant to what's going on today. We'll be hearing a very special segment next. Bob Avakian, revolutionary leader, author, and the architect of the new communism. And his statement, nothing less.
This is Bob Avakian speaking. To all those who have risen up so powerfully and are demonstrating to say no more after the murder of George Floyd and all the other cold-blooded murders by police, to all those who have drawn inspiration from this righteous uprising, to all those who have had the blinders forced from their eyes and have been provoked to think anew about what kind of country it is that we live in. This has raised the biggest questions about what is needed for people everywhere to live fully as human beings. An end to institutionalized racism and murder by police, nothing less. An end to any way people anywhere are used, abused, and brutalized, nothing less. We need a world without white supremacy and male supremacy. A world where no one is regarded as alien. A world without war, where people from all over the globe, with a beautiful flowering of diversity, act together for the common good and are truly caretakers of the earth. This is not just a dream. The possibility for this is being powerfully demonstrated in this uprising of the people, of all different races and genders from all parts of the world, refusing to remain silent or stay passive while all this oppression and brutality goes on. To make all this real, we need revolution, nothing less. A strategic plan for how to make this revolution, and a sweeping vision and concrete blueprint for a radically different and much better world, where all this can become possible, can be found in the work I have done, including the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America. You can learn more about this revolution and become part of making it a reality by going to revcom.us and joining with the RevComs. We do not need to live in this world where so much of humanity suffers so unnecessarily under this system of capitalism imperialism that cannot exist without exploiting and degrading people, suffocating their humanity, and killing them without mercy. We can do much better. Don't listen to talk about how it can never happen. Look around you. What seemed impossible yesterday is happening right now. Revolution. Why should we settle for anything less?
That was Bob Avakian, revolutionary leader, author, and architect of the new communism, and his statement, Nothing Less. Now we're going to hear another piece by Bob Avakian, or BA, on the oppression of black people and other people of color, from the speech, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution.
The oppression of black people and other people of color. This system in this country was founded in genocide and slavery. From the beginning, African Americans and Native Americans were treated as pariahs, a caste of people less than human and not deserving of the same rights and opportunities as the European settlers of the territory. White supremacy was poured into the foundation and into every institution of the country. The uniting of the United States was accomplished through the compromise written into the founding constitution that institutionalized slavery. And for generations, slave labor produced a great part of the wealth of this country. As I said in Basics 1-1, there would be no United States as we now know it today without slavery. That is a simple and basic truth. And then, when it was no longer possible to contain the conflicts that had been somewhat held in check by the founding compromise, the Civil War erupted between the southern slave states and the northern states, which increasingly were based on the exploitation of wage labor by capitalists. But shortly after the end of this Civil War, another compromise was engineered, which was a continuation of the original compromise under the new conditions. The country was put back together on the basis of reaffirming and reinforcing white supremacy. With the masses of black people still overwhelmingly in the South, subjugated and terrorized into second-class citizen status, exploited in conditions of near slavery and sometimes still literal slavery by white plantation and other property owners. And the land and way of life of the native peoples was further stolen through armed conquest and decimated by slaughter, confinement in reservations, and cultural genocide, which has resulted in the poverty, oppression, and repression that continues to be inflicted on Native Americans to this day. Under slavery, it was the armed patrols and militias organized by the slave owners that hunted down slaves who rebelled or just tried to escape and terrorized the masses of black people as a whole. After slavery, with Jim Crow segregation, it was the Ku Klux Klan, together with local sheriffs, who largely played this role. Today, in the conditions in which masses of black people in the ghettos of the inner cities find themselves, the role that was played in the past by the slave patrols, and then the Ku Klux Klan and local sheriffs, is now carried out by heavily armed urban police forces. This is a big part of the overall role of the police, which, as I said in Basics 124, is not to serve and protect the people. It is to serve and protect the system that rules over the people, to enforce the relations of exploitation and oppression, the conditions of poverty, misery, and degradation into which the system has cast people and is determined to keep people in. The law and order the police are about, with all their brutality and murder, is the law and order that enforces all this oppression and madness. In the days of slavery and then Jim Crow segregation after the Civil War, the oppressors viciously exploited and terrorized black people, brutally murdering those they saw as posing a threat or not staying in their place. But they did not kill off or incarcerate a huge part of the black population because their labor was needed as a backbone and crucial source of profit for the cotton plantations and the overall economy in the South and the country as a whole. Today, with great numbers of black people concentrated in the inner cities, and with many factories and other capitalist enterprises having moved away from the urban cores, the police have killed thousands of black people in the last few decades, and they play a key part in forcibly maintaining masses of black people in a situation where, especially youth robbed of any decent future under this system, are killing each other in the thousands, and millions are either incarcerated or in some other way under the control of the so-called justice system. Because white supremacy is such a defining part of this country, it is not just African Americans and Native Americans, but people of color generally who are subjected to discrimination, degradation, and brutality. And this applies now in acute ways to those whose roots lie in Mexico, El Salvador, and other parts of Central America and the Caribbean, which are tightly ensnared in a net of domination and exploitation by the imperialists of the USA, whose ravaging of these countries has driven many to emigrate to the US itself. White supremacy and capitalism, they have been completely interwoven and tightly stitched together through the whole development of this country down to today. To attempt to really put an end to white supremacy while maintaining the system of capitalism would tear the entire fabric of the country apart. White supremacy and capitalism. It is not possible to overcome and finally abolish the one without overthrowing and finally abolishing the other.
Next, I'm going to play a recent piece by LL Cool J responding to the murder of George Floyd and too many others.
For 400 years, you had your knees on our necks. A garden of evil with no seeds of respect. In America's mirror, all she sees is regret. Instead of letting blood live, they begging for bloodlet. Revenge is a dish that's served on platelets. Transfusion or confusion, abusing our intellect. I can't be bought with a $1,200 check, even though $1,200 can make a meal stretch. My mama wasn't rich, but she earned my respect. She made a little bit of money for a lot of blood, tears, and sweat. Jumping up and down on police cars, I'm vexed. After Chauvin killed George Floyd, we got next. Molotov cocktails, anarchy on the set. The rich took the loot, so now we loot. Feeling like a caged tiger that's whipped to do tricks. That's why I started fires and yelled and threw bricks. They tried to run me over and arrest me and tased pepper spray and engaged with the kid. They ran up in the state house with them AKs quick. But let a nigga try and do that white boy. Won't be no rubber bullets ricocheting off ribs. But the white supremacists go in the cops' faces, spit. Try to barbecue, Becky call the cops on the kid. Hoping and praying it'd be some Emmett Till shit. Sandra wasn't bland, they hated Mike cause he brown. Trayvon should have had an Aston Martin riding around. Amadou Diallo, it's way too many to follow. Vato, how much of my pride I gotta swallow? God only knows how deep this plan goes. I was dealing with this shit as a teen in Kangos. Harassed by cops, word to my ancestors' souls. And watching that man die slow left a hole. He cried for his mama as the murder unfold. If it wasn't for them phones, Chauvin would be at home. Feeling justified because of George's skin tone. I'm telling it to those with melanin, you're not alone. The new Malcolm, Martin, and Marcuses are now grown. America's a graveyard full of black men's bones. And I ain't got to tell you that Breonna Taylor got slayed in her own home. Had they lived, Sean could have rocked bells. Eric could have garnered attention. Beyond the t-shirts and obituary mentions. Oscar could have been counting grants. Tamir could have went to Rice. They owed them cops nothing, but all of them paid the price. So yeah, you right. We should protect our Second Amendment rights. Cause in a second, a dirty cop could kick the door in at night. A 2-4, two fin, a life for a life. We refuse to live in hell while you living in paradise. Being black in America's like rolling a pair of dice. But the stakes are way higher, you gambling with my life. Black lives matter. Forever.
That was LL Cool J, and it's very important that when artists create art that supports the struggles of the people, and when they stand up against what this system does to people, when they create great works of art in general. And if you're a regular listener to this show, you know that I'm always about playing music on my show. So here's the challenge. Send me any protest music you run into. Send me links or the clips themselves. Send it to mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. And if they're appropriate, I will play them in upcoming weeks. That brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank all of my guests today and each and every one of you for tuning in. I also want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson. If you want to write to me, you can at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. And we're going to go out now with When the Ship Comes In. Talk to you again next week.
Oh, the time will come up when the winds will stop and the breeze will cease to breathe in. Like the stillness in the wind before the hurricane begins. The hour when the ship comes in. Oh, the seas will split and the ship will hit. And the sands on the shoreline will be shaken. Then the tide will set. And the winds will pound, and the morning will be a breakin'. The fishes will laugh as they swim out.